Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to An Engaging Faith. I'm your host, Elizabeth Reardon, here on Breadbox Media. Now, I am so thankful and grateful to be with you here today, to meet you where you are, to discuss what it is to understand our faith and ourselves more deeply, and to look at where God is leading us together in faith. Now, today is a bit of a departure from some of our books, which are a little more weighty or theological, or perhaps touch on our connection with God, more of a individual or even a community-based idea. But today we have Peggy Frazone, and we're talking about her book, Faithfully Yours. And it really, and we're going to get into that, but it really talks about that bond that we have between the animals that we love. You know, how God works through these instances as well to bring us that healing and that nurturing that we need. Now, Peggy is an award-winning author of Paw Prints on My Heart, the popular Guidepost magazine blog about the same topic, this human-animal bond. She is also a regular contributor to Guidepost and author of Heart to Heart, Hand in Paw, and The Dieting with My Dog Guide to Weight Loss and Maintenance. And her stories appear in dozens of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. So Peggy and her husband live in New York, and as she writes, they enjoy a laid-back lifestyle with the senior dogs that they rescue. So Peggy, what a joy it is to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you and your listeners today.
Now, Peggy, you have been writing inspiring stories on this amazing bond between humans and animals for some time, just over 33 years now. So what prompted you to first start writing, and particularly in this area of writing?
Well, you know, I've always had dogs and pets, and I just love dogs, and I know that God has given them to us as companions. And I started to see the ways that so many different animals work in people's lives, and it's you know, it's more than just companionship in a lot of ways. And as I was exploring this, you know, I could see God's hand in these creatures, and I know that He used them in our lives as part of His plan. And I love to write about that, to just to help bring these stories to people, and to help people to see how really this, you know, I was guided to share these stories with others who might be open to finding a relationship with God through the love of their pets and animals, and seeing how they kind of mirror our relationship with God and the qualities that they have.
Well, and I think that much like our children, we notice that connection that they have right off the bat, you know, with how they relate to being in nature and how they relate to God.
Yes, and there's so many qualities that we can find in our pets and our animal friends and dogs and cats, their faithfulness and their devotion and the way they accept us unconditionally, and the way they have compassion for us and protect us and guide us. And I thought when I started to write this book, I just felt like those qualities that we can see in our pets are also qualities that we can find in our relationship with God, and how He has given us these animals with these wonderful qualities.
Now, you have, as I said earlier, a popular blog column at Guidepost entitled Paw Prints on My Heart, highlighting the companionship and health benefits of this relationship. So what have you discovered in sharing these stories with others?
Well, I've been writing a lot of stories for Guidepost Magazine, which is a wonderful magazine full of inspirational stories that really speak to people, and I've been writing for them since 2004. And as I've been writing, I've been sort of led more towards the stories of our relationships with animals. And so the blog, I also blog and write on the Guidepost website sometimes, and also I have my own personal blog. And through all these avenues of sharing the stories, I've been able to find people who will read a story about a particular animal and relationship and the bond, and they'll be able to take it and apply it to their own situations, and it sometimes helps them to discover something that they've needed to help strengthen their life, or to help them to realize that this. In fact, I just had a woman who read a current story I have in Guidepost Magazine this month in January, and it's about last Christmas. My dog Kelly, suddenly, who's 13 years old, a little spaniel. We came home from Christmas at my in-laws, and she had ruptured her spine. She couldn't walk, and we took her to the vet, and the vet said it was going to be 8 weeks at least in a crate without moving at all for her spine to heal. And somehow, you know, we prayed, and my daughter said, just pray for a miracle, Mom. And I was like, you know, geez, you know, she's old, she's sick, I don't know. In 8 days, she was completely healed. She could walk, she could run, she could jump. And it was a miracle that we got for her healing on that. And so I have that story in this month's Guidepost Magazine. And I've been receiving letters from people who've read it, who've been inspired by that and been able to find hope from that story.
And I would think that it would help. A lot of times we learn by experience. And I know as a mom that my early experience with my older children when they were young was really trial and error. And it's helpful to hear some of the experiences from others, so it helps you make the best decisions when it comes to how to care for the animals that we love.
Yes, there's a whole new way of looking at animals now, as our dogs and cats in particular, as part of the family. And years ago, cats were maybe kept in the barn to take care of the mice, and the dogs were just let out the door in the morning and came home at night, or sometimes they slept outside. And now, more and more, we're understanding more about them, that they do have feelings, and they do they are, you know, they do feel pain, and they do feel loneliness and different things. You know, we can't give them all human qualities because that wouldn't be accurate, but they are part of our families, and we like to include them and treat them. And so there's a lot more care now about what we feed them. And you and I were talking about allergies, and there's so much now that we can do. In the past, a dog with allergies would just suffer, but there's different foods and different vitamins and different treatments that we can give to help them. So you know, through the stories, I try to do two things. I try, and through the blogging, you know, to help people with information, and also then to help them with inspiration.
Well, talking about the animals fitting in as part of the family, I know, Peggy, though you are primarily the writer, while you were going through this, that others took to sharing your story of your husband, Mike, when he was going through a very serious health issue and given a prognosis of 10 to 20% survival. So how did your faith and that of the community, for instance, through Guideposts, support you during this time?
Yes, that was only 2 years ago now, and he did face a sudden, unexpected health crisis, which ended him up in the intensive care and sedated and on a respirator, and it was about 35 days in the hospital with very poor prognosis, and he was able to come through that. So there were, you know, obviously I went through a lot. We have a very close marriage, and when one of us isn't there, you know, the other one, I was very lost, and there were a lot of things like paying the bills that was just his responsibility at the time, and I've since learned more about doing it, but he was in the hospital for more than a month, so that I had to, you know, I had to learn how to take over these things. But the support from Guidepost, as far as learning about keeping my faith and praying and having people pray for me, and then there was the support from animals, as far as being able to come home and have my dogs. And there's more than just a physical comfort of sitting mm-hmm. and patting your dog on, you know, I have a big oversized green chair, and we'd sit in my big green prayer chair, I called it, and I could say my prayers and the dogs would be there beside me. But there's actually a real physical reaction that your body has when you're patting a dog. It lowers your blood pressure and it lowers your heart rate, and it releases the good hormone feelings in you mm-hmm. so that it actually physically helps you as well as just emotionally.
Right, right. And I know that, you know, and we're going to talk about this, that wonderful place that animals have in our lives, and how they can be such a source of healing and a source of comfort, particularly when we are going through a difficult time, and they sense it more so than even some of our closest human friends. But we are going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more with Peggy Frazon and her book, Faithfully Yours, here on An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon on BritBox Media.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back. And you are listening to An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon here on BritBox Media. Now, we are joined today by Peggy Frazon, and we are discussing her book, Faithfully Yours, The Amazing Bond Between Us and the Animals That We Love. Peggy, I know one of the things that you've written, that you reflected back, you know, especially when your husband was going through this, were to the mountains surrounding the camp that you and your husband used to go to in the Adirondacks. And as a Vermont native, the outdoors really holds a special place for you, as well as the animals you love to connect with, you know, and connecting with God, right?
Absolutely. It's just a way that a place in nature where you can really feel the closest, at least for me, to God's creation, and be able to just sit and be quiet.
And our animals, they really enjoy that chance to bring us, I think, out into the outdoors as well. I know when I take Gretel on walks, it's as if she is truly introducing me to what she's already very familiar with. So it is a chance for them to kind of lead and get to show us a little bit of what we might be missing if we stay indoors.
Absolutely. And dogs explore with their nose, and they need to get out and see all the smells. And you know, if they were just staying inside all the time, you know, some dogs probably can do okay at that, but most dogs need to go outside and explore. And so by taking them out on their walks, not only is it good for them physically, and it's good for them mentally to stimulate them and to reduce boredom and all that, but then it's good for us as well, which is part of what I discovered when I was dieting with my dog, which was Kelly, my little spaniel, who is now almost 14 years old. But she had, the doctor, her vet had said that she was starting to have a little extra weight, and that if she didn't lose some weight, she'd be at risk for heart disease and high blood pressure. And I thought, wait, that is what my own doctor's been telling me. I've got, you know, my habits are affecting her. If I'm not getting out and walking, she's not getting out and walking. If I'm eating junk food, she's getting the pizza crust. So by getting outside and walking her more often, I'd get more exercise and she'd get more exercise. And in that way, our pets can help us. And people who have pets actually have a better health and a better lower weight they're able to maintain if they're out walking their dogs.
Right, and you chronicled that in your book, The Dieting with My Dog. Right, the guide to weight loss and maintenance, and that's a really interesting topic, because we think of having a partner in weight loss or in an exercise plan, but we don't often see the animals that are a part of our family as the one to partner with.
That's right. My I have the book, my memoir book, which was my first book published, which is just called Dieting with My Dog. And then after that, in that book, I wrote about our journey together, Kelly and I, and how we lost weight. And she lost about 8 pounds, I think, or more than that. And she's just a little dog, so she got to be at a good weight. And I lost 40-something pounds, and you know, we did it by doing it together, and I was more motivated by trying to help her. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, this bond, this cycle where I help her and she helps me, and it goes together. And then when people read that afterwards, they wanted more how-to information. So that's where the companion book, the Dieting with My Dog Guide to Weight Loss and Maintenance, came out as a companion. It has more recipes and exercises. And there actually, I met a woman who has opened a gym, and she has many franchises across the country called the K9 Fit Club. And it's a gym where people can go with their dogs, and they go together and can exercise together. And it's a wonderful thing. And one of the trainers from that gym has, in the book, a series of photographs of exercises and step-by-step instructions, how you can do lunges with your dog, and the dog can go under your leg and around, and different exercises that you can learn to do with your dog. You can do a wall sit, and if you have a little dog, you can balance him on your legs for some extra weight, or a bigger dog like your German Shepherd could learn to put her paws up on your legs. So it's it has wonderful ways that you can actually learn how to go about some of these things you can do with your dog. And also, I learned walking your dog isn't the only thing you can do for exercise with your dog. I have stories from people who go hiking and running and biking and snowshoeing. The dog comes along snowshoeing. They don't have snowshoes for the dogs, but swimming. And, you know, there's so many different exercises that you can go out and be active with your dog. It doesn't just have to be walking around the block.
Right. And one of the things, Peggy, you take in senior dogs often with special needs. What have been the challenges, but also the joys of taking this role in the life of an older animal?
Right. We started this a number of years ago. We got Kelly when she was one. And we've been adopting dogs, rescuing dogs that have been homeless. And then we had a Labrador. But then when we lost our lab, we decided that we were going to look in our local rescue group for another dog, and they presented us with this dog, and he was 11 years old, and they said, this is the dog for you. And I'm like, geez, I don't know. An 11-year-old dog, you're going to get so attached, you're going to lose the dog, and that's going to be hard. And he had been, this dog had been on his own. He was skinny. He was missing teeth. He had, you know, patches of fur, and he had Lyme disease, and, you know, he just had been through a lot. Mm. And my husband's like, you know, please, can we get him? Can we get him? You know, he's like a little kid. Can we get him? Can we get him? And I was like, oh, Mike, I don't think my heart can do it. And he just looked at me and he says, but he needs us. And I said, that's it. It wasn't at that point, what can this dog give to us, but how can we give to this dog? He was all alone and he'd been abandoned. Somebody had just, just abandoned him in his senior years, and he'd been just wandering on his own. And so we took him in, and this is the dog. We named him Brooks, and he just changed my life. I really, I saw how a senior dog just fit into our lifestyle, and he was just laid back. He didn't have some of the joys of a senior dog is they don't have the
hyperness
issues. Right, and they're not running around and chewing the furniture. He was just content to climb into my big green prayer chair, as I told you about earlier. He'd climb in there every night, whether I was reading or writing or watching the television, and he'd be right by my side. And he'd just, you'd take him out on a nice slow walk. And my husband and I aren't, super athletic runners or whatever, so that was a nice, fine pace for us to take a nice slow walk around the neighborhood. And, just as I had worried, we lost him after less than a year. He was almost a year, and he got cancer, and he passed away. But that year, we just keep saying that year was the best year, and it changed our lives, and it changed his life. And I really feel 100% certain that God sent us that dog to live out his last year in total comfort and love, something that maybe he hadn't had all his life. I don't know what his past was like, but he certainly hadn't had it, for quite some time. And so he was sent to us to, to have that before he went on. And that's the moment my husband and I looked at each other and we said, we're going to adopt senior golden retrievers. That's going to be what we do.
Right. Right. And Peggy, your love of animals, it didn't just start there, though. It really comes from your mother. And you've chronicled this in Paw to Paw, Heart to Heart. But can you just tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up in a home that generously welcomed in strays of every sort?
Oh, yes. I always knew I had a companion in my mother, that she was an ally, and I could bring home I brought home a seagull that I found injured. I brought home, turtles. It didn't matter what, and that she would always support that. My father wasn't quite as on board with this whole thing, but somehow we got away with it. And we had dogs, cats, rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, fish, turtles. And I didn't live even though I grew up in Vermont, but it wasn't a real country farm or anything. But I always wanted a duck. That's the one thing I never got. But she really showed me about love and acceptance of animals. And she had animals, throughout her life who really, she had a very traumatic and difficult life, in that the animals were always up there to minister to her. And my childhood dog, Happy, who was we had traded him for a handful of firewood, and somebody gave us a stray dog. It was a beagle and a lab mix, and I had him from kindergarten all the way through high school.
Mm, what a gift. What a gift we have when our children have that invitation to really connect with animals and really see compassion and learn compassion from them. So we are going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more with Peggy Vasson here on An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Sheridan on Red Cross Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back. And you are listening to An Engaging Face with Elizabeth Reardon here on Redbox Media. Now, we are joined today with Peggy Frazon, and we are discussing her book, Faithfully Yours, The Amazing Bond Between Us and the Animals We Love. Now, you know, before the break, Peggy, we were talking a little bit about your childhood and your love of animals. How did, you know, when you look at all of the different stories, because I'm sure that it can be very difficult to decide on which stories to actually use, because when you speak with anyone, I think much like any other really great memory they have, there's one involving an animal. And so how did you ever decide on the stories that were selected for this book? Because you didn't just feature the stories of dogs and cats, but you really used a variety of animals, their bonds, and their loves for their owners.
Yes, I sort of divided it into stories about animals who are helping people and then people who are helping animals, because I kept wanting to explore that bond, the bond we have between us and the animals. And, you know, I see that as two ways. It's not just animal stories and stories about how animals help us, and there's so many, of course, but I wanted to also show that because we are able to form such a strong, powerful relationship with animals, that there are people who will do amazing things and make sacrifices to help animals. And so it goes both ways, and the love goes both ways, and it's like a circle. So I would choose stories that sometimes could show both sides of it, the animals helping the person and the person helps the animals, and how it all goes round and round. And of course I wanted to find stories as well that I felt helped with the people who had a spiritual aspect to it, or had some prayer and faith that they recognized, that they were able to verbalize that to me. And also some, you know, that were people who maybe were more searching, but they were like, yeah, you know, this, I think this meant something. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the stories I really enjoyed was there are some dogs that they use as book buddies that children read to, and that the children help get their confidence by reading to a dog, which they feel is more accepting than a person may be judging them. And an organization had the children go and read to dogs in a shelter, so that the shelter dogs were also getting this companionship and this contact with people when they're homeless and don't have people mm-hmm. to spend the time with. So that was a good example, I felt, of the children were helping the animals and the animals were helping the children, and it went in this cycle. And it even went beyond that, because the mother of the girl I was interviewing about the story, actually the girl was reading her dog The Hobbit, and at the end of the program she was like, Mom, but I didn't get to finish the whole book. So they adopted the dog so she could finish reading
awesome.
The story.
Well, and you, when I say a variety of animals too, we've been talking a lot about dogs, perhaps because both Peggy and I have dogs and have owned dogs over the years, or rather have welcomed dogs, I should say, into our homes. Peggy, I mean, you include less desirable pets like possums and spiders.
I think the possum story is one that amuses me the most. And these were friends of ours from church. I included some stories from people I know and many from people I didn't. But she had a cat, Simon, who wanted to be outside. And so she made a nice house for her cat outside on the porch, and she put in a heating pad so it would stay warm and nice blankets and covered it all up nice. And she'd go every night and stick her hand in the house and say goodnight to her cat. And one day she stuck her hand in, and whatever she felt in there was not Simon. And it turned out that a big opossum had taken up residence on her porch in her cat house. And it loved the nice heated pad, and it was comfortable there. And so instead of, trying to trap the opossum and get rid of the opossum or whatever, she went out and got another cat house so that she could have one for her cat and one for the opossum, because she felt, after all, it was, you know, one of God's creatures, and it deserved a nice warm home, too.
And even reading that, though, I have to admit, I did get, you know, a little shiver down my spine. Because growing up in the South, I know what possums are. And for those listening, if you've never encountered one, they look like a big rat.
They do.
But
they're not the friendliest or sweetest animal that you might want to welcome onto your porch. However, I guess it worked out for her.
Yes. And I mean, and that just goes to show you, we have our own understanding of what each of these animals can bring because of our experience. And if we've never had that experience, as she did, or be open to that experience, well, we might not ever get the chance to know that side in an animal.
Another woman who has a heart for spiders. And I know spiders and snakes, and I personally have trouble with snakes, and I try very hard to be accepting of them if I see them in the yard or wherever, but they're not something that I find easy to love. But she just absolutely loves spiders, has a relationship with them as far as, you know, considering them valuable and amazing creatures to look at and study and to care for.
Right. Well, you know, there is such diversity in the lessons these stories convey. Some show immense compassion, some courage, others reflect humor. I know one of the stories that touched me immensely was the story of Tori, the little girl with the common variable immunodeficiency, and Patty Pat, a miniature horse that was described previously as wild and uncontrollable before Tori came into the picture.
Yes, this horse, Tori was very susceptible to diseases and to getting colds and everything, and so she sometimes had to miss a lot of school and had to be very careful. But one thing, her parents did take her to this farm of a friend of theirs who had miniature horses, and this one miniature horse just took to her, and she took to the horse. They just had a connection. They made a connection, and no one else could control this horse, so they had this bond. And the reason I also like that story as well as you is because the horse helped Tori and was able to give her the comfort and the companionship that she missed, because she had to, you know, she couldn't go on sleepovers with her friends and everything as much when her health was having its, at its peak. I think it would peak and have times when she was less able to go out than others. And, but she was also able to help the horse. One time it had got a very serious injury, a cut on its leg, and no one else could calm it down to receive first aid. So they went and got Tori, and she was able to be able to calm the horse enough so that they could tend to its injuries.
Right. And that ability for her to, I mean, we naturally would not place a child in that position, but that connection of understanding one another, I think that children and animals have that naturally.
They do, and there are many times when animals, cats and dogs and rabbits and different animals are brought as therapy animals to go and help children and have the children be comforted. And One of the women brought a rabbit who was shedding badly to a cancer patient, a little boy, and he's like, you know, she's losing her hair just like I am. You know, they can relate to different aspects about the vulnerability of animals or whatever they may see in them.
Right, and
there
I
was
think
one one woman had a dog with cleft palate, and she would bring that puppy to children who had cleft palate, and so the children could see this puppy, and that they thought he was cute and he was lovable, and they had the same condition. Maybe they were cute and lovable too.
Well, right. Well, what would you say to the story of the rat, though? there was.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I guess for some people, I mean, I know I still remember my children with the hamsters that the preschool had and how much they loved them and the playfulness and the energy that they brought. And I could see that working. I really could.
I think it's because it's small, it may be more accessible to some people, and especially children won't see it the same way as adults. And I think rats supposedly make a very nice pet. I've never had one.
I haven't either, but I've heard from those that have them what an easy relationship they have, because they're very contained unless they want to not be.
Right, and they're supposedly very intelligent. So
yes,
I am. So I guess everybody will relate to a different animal, and there's a woman who was very fond of chickens, and you know, all different horses, and you know.
So we are going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to hear more from Peggy Crisone this afternoon here on An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Listening to An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon here on Breadbox Media. Now, one of the things, Peggy, you speak of are the times when we are pulled to bring compassion and healing to our animals. And I am reminded of my own little girl, Gretel, now a 5-year-old German Shepherd. I mentioned her name earlier, but with 3 boys and a hubby in the house, there was a lot of testosterone in my home. And I knew that another female presence would really be beneficial. She was still a pup then, and I told you during the first break that she became very sick, and we, along with the vets, couldn't initially figure out what was wrong, and different diets only seemed to make it worse. One had even suggested surgery, and she looked up at me, and her legs were quivering, and her big eyes fearful and pleading, and I knew that wasn't the answer. So finally, our main vet discovered it, and she had celiac disease. So she couldn't tolerate grains at all. And today, she is still rather petite for a Golden Shepherd, but she's happy and healthy, and comes to me when she needs a break from the boys.
That is, I mean, that's just an example of working to understand a dog's symptoms and, you know, of course, working with your veterinarian who has the expertise, but also in training and in help. It's really upon us to understand them. They can't tell us in words, and we have to look to their body language and you know, their symptoms and things, so that we can try to figure out, are they, you know, if they've if they're barking all night, you know, don't just yell at them to be quiet, but figure out, are they bored, are they scared, are they cold? And and really, it's so important to understand these lives that are entrusted to us to care for, and to figure out how can we help them. And with health issues, it's you know, it is a struggle because it gets very expensive. And we have to, you know, when we adopt or take a dog into our family, you know, we have to take care of them. And that means more than just giving them shelter and dumping a scoop of food into a bowl every day. Mm-hmm. You know, it means caring for their whole mind and their body. And there's just so much more to it now.
Well, you know, you write often of this animal's ability to also, you know, conversely, to provide comfort to us and peace and healing, as you've noted that it's not just felt within, but scientifically proven. So can you tell us about Dominic the pit bull who liked to cuddle?
Yes, that was such a sweet story. He was... He was taken from a home or a place where they had a whole bunch of dogs that they weren't allowed to keep. And in many areas, they have breed laws where pit bulls aren't allowed. And in this part of Colorado where he was, they weren't allowed to have pit bulls. And this dog ended up in the hands of a veterinary technician where they were allowed to be kept, and she brought the pup into work with her every day, and Jess was planning to keep him there so that he'd have company. But this dog had somewhat of a sense of wanting to do something, and whenever a dog or a cat or an animal came out of the surgery and needed to recover, somehow Dominic found a way to get next to that dog and cuddle up with it and just be there with that dog or cat, I think. I won't say for sure cat, I'll say dog, until it recovered, and give it that comfort. He just felt that was his job, and he did that all on his own.
Right. And animals can really sense, but you know, what's needed, and they can also bring out the very best of us at times, even pulling us to recognize our greater calling, that is to love one another. Just like Lillian, this really incredible stray dog that you write about, and her soon to be pups.
And the woman who adopted her, I guess she found her on the side of the road, and she had full-time job as a lawyer and had to go into work, but she knew this dog and her pups needed her, and she just stayed home and cared for them as long as she could, and just sacrificed, you know, finances and whatever she could, so that she could care for this dog. And of course, in return, she felt like she was getting paid by the love of this dog and the pups.
Right. And you learn where you're really being called to be, I think, in not only the career you choose, but also in our relationships. And so when we look at the animals, sometimes they are reminding us of our greater calling. They're reminding us of that call to love, right?
That's for sure. And there's so many people. There's a woman named Molly who also had a lucrative business, and she traveled to Peru, to a very poor region in the Amazon, and she'd see all these street dogs there. And she went and helped one, and she just realized that just wasn't enough. There was just so many more. And she actually moved and lived there and helped opened up veterinary care for them and a shelter for them. And she also did something very important. She educated the people, because in that area, the dogs weren't considered like we treat our dogs here. You know, they were just roaming the streets and people would throw rocks at them. And they, she taught them about humane treatment of animals and helped educate them so that they understood these creatures of God were not just possessions or baggage or trash. So she really devoted her life to this and helped a lot of animals.
Well, when you talk about your recognition that you could really make not only a difference in the life of the senior dogs that you adopt, but their effect upon you, I want to encourage our listeners, one of the gifts that you have when your the animal that you love is on, I would say, in its, you know, last few years of life, is to share those joys that that dog or that cat or that animal has brought you. A friend of mine does what you do with cats, and she has welcomed all those on social media that as one of her fur babies, as she calls it, when that cat nears the end of its days, she really chronicles that time and invites others to share in that. I find it very rewarding when she does this, because the response is overwhelming. You know, it's that grace moment that we feel when we are present for the last few moments of life.
Some people feel like maybe it's wrong to grieve for their pet, and that other people will judge them and say it's only a cat or it's only a dog, but it's absolutely, it's a part of your family, it's a friend, it's a companion, and much more than that in many cases. So we need to find ways to cope with this, and to sharing it, like you say, is a wonderful way.
Right. There is a poem in this book, and it is a beautiful prayer. It's the prayer of a stray, and I want to also share this with our listeners. It starts with, "Dear God, please send me somebody who'll care. I'm tired of running. I'm sick with despair. My body is aching. It's so racked with pain. And dear God, I pray as I run in the rain that someone will love me and give me a home, a warm, cozy bed, and a big, juicy bone. They've chased me with sticks. They've hit me with stones while I run the streets just looking for bones. I'm not really bad, God. Please help if you can, for I have become just another victim of man. I'll love them, protect them, and try to obey when they tell me to sit, to lie down, or to stay. I don't think it'll take too long on my own, because I'm getting so weak and I'm so all alone." And there's more, but Peggy, this really echoes what many of us feel, is that the cry of wanting to be included in our lives, of wanting to be a part of our family.
It's true. They just want to be with us. I don't think there's anything that these animals, cats and dogs and our companion animals want more than just to be with us. And, you know, they deserve to be treated with kindness and compassion and everything that they give us. And, you know, we just need to just keep that in mind, that they're God's creatures and we're here to love them.
Well, thank you so much, Peggy, for tuning in and listening. Her book, Faithfully Yours, Amazing Bond Between Us and Love, is available. Thank you all for listening to An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Meredith on Redbox Media. It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.